After a German tourist became disorientated on a walking track in Australia, he fell asleep and was attacked by dingoes. The 23-year-old was attacked near his campsite on Fraser Island. He was airlifted to hospital with serious wounds to his head, arms and legs.
I wonder what happened to my fiancé. I know he's here somewhere. Ellen, have you seen my fiancé?
He's upstairs.
Are you going upstairs? Tell my fiancé I'm looking for him. I have lost my fiancé, the poor baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
What?
The dingo ate your baby.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're spiritual beings. Inside us, we have an energy that's invincible. In our mind, we have morals and principles, incredibly strong emotions. To some, they seem invisible. Some of us stand so strong with wide smiles, but inside, we are miserable. Some of us have a spiritual significance beyond human understanding that defines mystical. Some of us stand by and watch the leaders of our planet rob lower developed countries for their minerals. Me, I decide to stand up for what's right and get lyrical. For years, people have voted conservative or liberal. For years, these same people that vote are still miserable. The television is shit. I said the television is shit. Whether analog or digital, it's destroyed families' communication because now their parents speak to their kids at a minimal. If you're listening to me now, don't think what I'm saying is dismissible. If you dismiss what I'm saying, enjoy your life of ignorance. Inflated egos shine through the sheeples, militants. Ancient civilizations still stand firm like Bosnian pyramids. Never-enders like EastEnders just encourage people to be as thick as fish. Meanwhile, folks live in tower blocks for 20 years, but they don't know their neighbours. They don't share knowledge or love. They'd rather act like strangers. And according to the propaganda in the paper, every teenager with a hood might decide to blade you. The media puts everyone in categories. This affects social behaviour. Glamorising meaningless logos keeps the kids in India busy with slave labour, and it seems like everybody's obsessed with a promise to pay on paper. I still meditate under a full moon like, why can't everyone be obsessed with nature? We're all here on a spiritual journey of enlightenment. You'll find out sooner or later. With every step on this journey I walk, I seem to get more persistent and braver, more passionate and determined. Now I'm striving for greater. And I can't even describe the energy inside me that drives my belly, nine stone body. All I know is I'm gonna make a huge difference in this world, and nothing's gonna stop me. My nan told me, if a job's worth doing, then it's worth doing properly. Call me a dreamer, but hey, that's better than every day just chasing a lottery. Voila.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
As I mentioned recently, ladies and gentlemen, after reviewing data from one of the Mars rovers, NASA, big press conference the other day, concluded that Mars was once drenched with enough water to support life in a good, habitable environment. And despite, I mean, this is an incredible discovery, and NASA still had to go out there and say that there's no proof that life existed. All they said was that conditions were there for there to be life. But this is not all NASA said, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot that is not being discussed here. As a powerful, influential member of the media, I know more than you do, especially about this. I have seen a highly classified report that has not been released publicly, and it probably won't be unless you consider my talking about it here to be releasing it public. It's top secret report, codenamed the Gore Report. It was prepared by scientists from Area 52 in New Mexico. They analyzed the Mars data. And there are some findings in this report, and I can understand why they don't want to release this, but I want to, and I don't know at all, but I want to pass off what some of the Gore report says. There was life on Mars. That's what NASA is not being upfront about. There was life up there. Everybody knows it. We can't be the only people occupying the universe. It's impossible. Who do we think we are? We're the only people God created? Sorry, for those of you who don't believe in God, only people who evolved from apes? So it's clear that there was life elsewhere, and now that, you know, NASA's kind of let the cat out of the bag, if there were habitable conditions up there, we know there was life there. In fact, they found some DNA evidence up there that compares favorably to members of the Skull and Bones Society here on Earth. These people were highly industrialized, the Martians. They were technologically superior, and they were very arrogant people. And they thought that the power and the force of their existence was all that was needed to sustain them. And they didn't care a whit about conservation. They didn't care a whit about preserving anything. They got rid of everything that was pristine. In fact, they used the internal combustion engine. They were globalists. They got rid of all the countries on that planet, and they had just one giant society, and the powerful rich just absorbed everything they needed from the best parts of the planet, used it for themselves, and everybody basically suffered until everybody died out, because what happened was there were no checks and balances. Probably, I don't know this, there probably wasn't any campaign finance reform to restrict the corruption in their elective circumstances there. And so special interest groups and multinationals who, you know, escape taxes by, you know, forming offshore accounts. You know, there's no coincidence in the fact that they found water, lots of water, where the habitable conditions were, because it dovetails with what's in the report about some of these multinationals abandoning their own countries and locating offshore. For all of the nefarious reasons. They had rainforests. You're not hearing about this. They had ancient rainforests. They had jungles. They had so much oil and gas. They had reserves out the wazoo. In fact, one of the things they found on Mars is that there are still, it's possible that there's still some there. Tiny little amounts. But it's clear. I mean, you saw the pictures from Mars. I saw the skeletons. At least I saw the fossils of the skeletons. There were people there. Or there were beings there. But it looked like Pompeii. It looked like these people all died huddled together, and they were just swarmed in an instant. You know, they were one day there and then gone. So many people living close together, it has to have been the result of urban sprawl. Nobody had any space, nobody had any room, and you could tell it. I saw it from the pictures that they released. It's clear, ladies and gentlemen, Mars was once it was once the jewel of the solar system, and it was raped. Mars was raped. This is what NASA knows. This is what the Gore report says. Mars was raped by robber barons. Capitalism, dependence on combustible engines, led to global warming. The ecosystem that sustained everybody was destroyed. That's why the water they found is at the equator area. The ice caps melted. Exactly what's happening here, folks. Exactly what's happening here. These people were advanced. Not everybody on Mars died. This is what's fascinating about this report. Not everybody on Mars died. Some were able to flee. Some were able to get off the planet. This is what they can't afford to release. UFOs, yep. All these sightings, all of these blinking lights, all these unexplained things, they're real. That's why they're calling this Area 52. Those are Martians escaping the destruction. It goes way back, I mean, before we were alive. I mean, these UFOs have been happening all over. It may well be that the bright star that guided the three wise men was a UFO. Tax cuts absolutely were a factor. That's what the offshore thing was all about. Yeah, of course tax cuts were a factor. But the elites got off. The elites were able to travel in space. The elite, there weren't very many of them, but they were able to get off. They fled the planet in time. The stunning thing about the Mars report, the Gore report, is that they're here. These people that destroyed Mars are here. They are on Earth, folks. They are in America. They work at Halliburton. They worked at Enron. They worked at WorldCom. They're at Boeing. They came to America, my friends. And the Gore report clearly illustrates they have not learned a thing from their experiences on Mars. The truth is out there. Far, far out there.
Visit other people with their habitation. We can keep track. If there's something very important to be developed from the moon, I'm not sure what it is right now. And I sure think we should identify what it is for America to make such gross expenditures again for human habitation on the moon. We can help. We can join with. Together, we can explore the moon and develop the moon. We should go boldly where man has not gone before. Fly by the comets, visit asteroids, visit the moon of Mars. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? Who put that there?
Stop! Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Make them listen to me before it's too late!
Scientists have just announced the discovery of Higgs boson. What do you think? What does it tell us about the origin of the universe?
The Higgs boson helps complete what's called the standard model of particle physics. There's a way we have to try to understand electrons and quarks and neutrinos and other kinds of particles. And the Higgs boson was kind of a missing piece of the puzzle, which, if it were not there, would mean that we'd have to kind of start over. But the fact that it appears to have been found completes our picture of the standard model of particle physics. That's not to say that we understand everything. We don't yet understand how gravity fits in with particle physics, other than the fact that gravity, you know, pulls particles together.
Right.
We also don't understand things like dark energy. The universe seems to be filled with a dark energy. It's expanding the universe faster and faster. I helped discover that. And the 2011 Nobel Prize in Physics was given to the team leaders last year for that discovery. So we don't understand the dark energy. There's also something called dark matter. It may or may not be some kind of fundamental particles that could be part of the standard model. We don't yet understand. So the Higgs boson is a very important discovery, but it does not solve all questions that remain in physics. But it is a very important discovery. In a sense, it would have been more exciting as a scientist if it were not there to me, because it would mean that we're not correct in our view of the universe. And the surprises are more fun than the expected discoveries. Sort of like we expected to find that the universe is slowing down. Just like when I toss a water bottle up, it slows down due to gravity of the Earth, you know, pulling it down, and eventually it stops and brings it back down. Well, we expected all the galaxies to be pulling on each other and to be slowing down the expansion of the universe. But instead, we found that the expansion is speeding up. So that meant that there's something totally brand new that was unanticipated, that we don't understand. And for a scientist, that's more fun than just confirming something that you already thought was there, that something that you already thought was true.
Were there any unanticipated discoveries among scientists?
I don't think scientists will ever truly understand creation, because I don't think we'll know where the laws of physics came from. But given a universe, given that universes can arise, I think someday we may well understand dark energy and dark matter and the other constituents of the universe. We only discovered dark energy 14 years ago, the accelerating expansion of the universe. So it's no surprise that we don't yet fully understand dark energy. Dark matter was only conceived a few decades ago. So again, we don't yet really know what dark matter is, but we've not been investigating it for very long. I mean, in hundreds of years, who knows what we will know? We might have a full inventory of what's in the universe and how everything behaves. So we will know a lot, but we won't quite know why it all happened and why there's something rather than nothing. Why are there any mathematical laws of physics rather than just nothing at all? I don't know that we'll ever understand that. Scientists are only well aware of 4% of the universe. That is, we understand pretty well the nature of 4% of the universe, the stuff that is made of atoms. 96% of the universe is made out of dark matter and dark energy. And although we know that they are present, we don't know what their detailed properties are, or why they are there, or what exactly is going on.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
Most people find the word apocalypse to be a terrifying concept. Checked in the dictionary, it means only revelation, although obviously it has also come to mean end of the world. As to what the end of the world means, I would say that that probably depends upon what we mean by world. I do not think that this means the planet or even the life forms upon the planet. I think the world is purely a construction of ideas. And not just the physical structures, but the mental and ideological structures that we've erected. That is what I would call the world. Our political structures, philosophical structures, ideological frameworks, economies. These are actually imaginary things. And yet, that is the framework that we have built our entire world upon. It strikes me that a strong enough wave of information could completely overturn and destroy all of that. A sudden realization that would change our entire perspective upon who we are and how we exist. History is a heat. It is the heat of accumulated information and accumulated complexity. As our culture progresses, we find that we gather more and more information and that we slowly start to move almost from a fluid to a vaporous state as we approach the ultimate complexity of a social boiling point. I believe that our culture is turning to steam.
City of Nine Gates. I'm sure you've heard this before. The city, the body is compared to a city of nine gates. Your asshole, your genitals, your ears, your nose, your mouth. What does that make? Nine? Two ears, two eyes, a mouth. Your asshole. What do we... 1, 2, 3, 4. That makes 7 gates. What are the other 2 gates? Armpits? 2 ears. 2 nostrils. That's it. 2 ears, 2 nostrils. That's 4. A mouth. That's 5. your asshole, 6. And your hole at the very tip of your penis. Or your vagina. That's still 7. What are the other 2 goddamn gates? 2 ears, 2 nose. 2 eyes. 6. Asshole, 7. Penis, 8. That's 8 gates. What's the 9th hole? How am I missing this f***ing hole? What's the 9th hole? Is there an unknown hole in my body? Mouth. You've got a mouth. You've got 2 nostrils. We're at 3 gates. You've got your asshole, 4. You've got your vaginal entrance, or the your urethra. That's 5. 2 ears, 7. Did I already say ears? I'm gonna have to write this down. God damn it. This is f***ing weird. Here's what we got. This is what you're riding around in. This is the city you live in. You're in this thing that's got 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 2 eyes, theoretically 1 asshole, and 1 penis hole or vaginal hole. So you got, that's, according to my calculations, we're up to 8 holes here. And I'm missing a 9th, because it's compared to a city of 9 gates. Maybe at a different, when this guy wrote this, it was a different time in history, and humans had other holes. I guess your skin is a gate? That's gotta be it. Your skin is the 9th gate. Regardless, depending on how f***ed up you are, you're in a city that's got 9 gates. One of them, I'm not sure what they are. Please feel free to tweet me and let me know what the hole I'm missing is. But it's an excellent parable, this story of the city of 9 gates, because the story is a king has been given this city, and there's a queen in the city. Now, the king is your consciousness, and there's a queen in the city. And the king marries the queen. That's your intelligence. So the idea is the king and the queen of the city is your consciousness and your intelligence that are living together in this city. And the queen has bodyguards. And those bodyguards are your senses. And I'm not even going to try to count. You guys, I guess here, it's the same as the gates. Smell, hearing, vision, feeling, etc. And then the bodyguards have wives, and the wives are your desires. So that's the makeup of the city. Oh, and there's a cobra-headed thing that lives in the city of 9 gates, according to the story. And the cobra-headed thing is a guardian of the city and represents your basic life force and all the different Vedic. This is clearly from India. All the different Vedic principles of your life force, and they that you can look that up and go. But it's a really cool, it's a great parable when you can start thinking about that you're actually living in a city, which is your body, and that you've got it. The more that you are strict about what you let into those gates, the better your life becomes. Because most people, they don't monitor the gates at all. A lot of people, they're getting their assholes filled every couple of days. Their mouths are filled with Doritos and French whore and Snicker bars and Valium and Xanax. And their eyes are staring at porn, and their ears are listening to music, getting blasted with Katy Perry, and their bodies are getting crap tattoos, and they're just f***ing up the city. Their city is like Detroit, and they're living in some ramshackle, run-down house and wondering why they're so depressed. Oh, the mouth. I missed the mouth. It's two ears, two nostrils, two eyes, an asshole, your penis hole, your vagina hole, and your mouth. Those are the nine gates. And you've also got to control what comes out of the gates, too. Because think of how many people have no control over the mouth gate.
Beck's statement tonight, as we reported last night, the far left is trying to use the Colorado movie massacre to promote gun control. The brother of a young woman murdered by James Holmes was confronted by that last night.
Do you feel compelled to push for tighter gun laws?
Well, here's the thing. We can try to politicize this and make some sort of polarizing debate and make this a tenet of the election. But that's not what we're here to do right now. We're here to celebrate the lives of the victims that have been lost. If somebody wants to do harm to somebody, they're going to find a way to do it.
And of course that's true, but it also makes sense for Congress to pass a new law that requires the sale of all heavy weapons to be reported to the FBI. In this age of terrorism, that law is badly needed. Joining us now from Washington, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who disagrees.
You can't go out and just go and buy a bazooka, as you suggest, or a fully automatic machine gun. There are laws on the books.
You can buy an AK-47 in this country, and no federal agency will know you buy it. And as the guy in Colorado proved, you can buy a mass amount of ammunition on the net, okay, and nobody's reporting.
This is the Second Amendment. You have a lawful and reasonable right to be able to go out and purchase
the
weapons
key is
and ammunition.
I'm not saying you can't purchase. Report
yes,
the
can.
Purchase
if
in
you're
case
buying.
It's a terrorist.
But Bill, you're ignoring the current law on the books. You're coming up with this wild definition of what is so-called heavy armament.
Wild definition? An AK-47?
Yes, you are.
That's not heavy armor? An AK?
There are rules, but there are laws on the books. You act as
there
if you can...
There aren't any federal laws on the books to report
that. There are laws
that.
On the books.
No,
you
are
misinformed.
There are seven
you are
states
totally
that require... No, you're wrong.
Yes,
there are seven
are.
States that require if you buy an AK and 43 that don't. Come on!
No, Bill, you're totally misinformed. If you go to an FFL, if you go to a federally firearms licensee, and you want to purchase, you have to go through a background check. If you want to purchase fully automatic, you've got to go get an ATF.
There are more loopholes in the gun purchasing laws in this country. All you have to do, and you define it, not me, you define it. You're an honest man.
The law, it does define
it. You define
it.
No, it doesn't.
The law defines. Yes,
it does. This guy in Colorado got all this stuff, and nobody knew about it. Come on.
Everybody wishes that we could wave our magic wand and this never, ever happened. I remember when Gabby Giffords happened. I wish that had never, ever happened. But the point was made by this guy's brother and others. We're not trying to politicize it. The laws are in the book. President Obama's taking that position.
Mitt Romney's taking that position.
I've taken that position.
I wouldn't even ban AKs. I wouldn't even go back to the Brady law that they had. But I would report. And there's nothing wrong with that.
The reporting's already there, Bill. You're misinformed.
All right. If the reporting were there, the FBI would have known about this guy in Denver, and they didn't.
And it wouldn't have solved this problem in this instance.
Ideas. We, from what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him because the second can of tear gas didn't come from his side. He was completely dressed in black, head to toe. From what we saw, it seemed like he had something over his face, probably to prevent him from breathing it in. And we can only assume that someone got him in because he was hit, whatever he was wearing seemed thick. So I don't think he would really. I think he'd stand out in the crowd.
I walked in from into the auditorium, sat into the very front row to the far right, and he got a phone call, and most people, when they get phone calls in theaters, they go straight out into the lobby to answer it. This person went directly to the emergency exit to take his phone call, which I thought was unusual. He seemed like he had his foot propped open by the door, and from the crack, it looked like he was signaling somebody or looking for somebody to come his way.
As I was sitting down to get my seat, I noticed that a person came up to the front row, to the front right, sat down, and as credits were going, I know it seemed like he got a phone call. So he went out towards the emergency exit doorway, which I thought was unusual to take a phone call. And it seemed like he probably pried it open or probably did not let it latch all the way. Soon as the movie started, somebody came in, all black, gas mask, armor, and threw a gas can into the audience, and it went off, and then there was gunshots that took place.
From what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him because the second can of tear gas didn't come from his side. He was completely dressed in black, head to toe. From what we saw, it seemed like he had something over his face, probably to prevent him from breathing it in. And we can only assume that someone got him in.
We have new information about the suspect in the movie theater massacre from James Holmes' own defense team. And it's raising more questions about whether someone at the University of Colorado could have or should have or might have seen warning signs. Drew Griffin of CNN Special Investigations Unit has been digging on this story. Drew.
Candy, according to his attorney, this 24-year-old accused of killing 12, gunning down dozens more, was seeing a psychiatrist at the time of the shooting. It's a huge development stemming from that mysterious package sent by James Holmes to a professor at the University of Colorado's Aurora campus on Monday. According to a motion filed today in Colorado, that professor was actually James Holmes' psychiatrist. Her name is Dr. Lynn Fenton. She is the head of Student Medical Health Services at the University of Colorado's Anschutz Medical Campus. And according to Holmes' attorney now, Mr. Holmes was seeing a psychiatrist patient of Dr. Fenton, and his communications with her are protected. That attorney is trying to get hold of the package, the contents of which, according to CBS News, include a description of how Holmes would kill people. The attorney says the information is privileged and confidential and should not be in the hands of police.
Yeah.
out of love. Someone that don't love you, don't look like satisfaction, and I don't care what you do. So out of love.
Okay, now then, let's return to James and Robert Holmes. Did you know that Robert Holmes, James's father, was prepared to testify about the whole LIBOR loan scam? When Junior goes off like this and starts killing people, overshadowing his father. Now, I don't know about ironies or coincidences. This is one hell of a coincidence, and it's horrible. I mean, I've closed a bunch of LIBOR loans and under the false assumption that they were better than the rest. Only to come to find out, of course, that that was all an international banking scam again.
Scripture says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And when you have an opportunity to visit with families who have lost their loved ones, as I describe to them, I come to them not so much as president as I do as a father and as a husband. And I think that the reason stories like this have such an impact on us is because we can all understand what it would be to have somebody that we love taken from us in this fashion, what it would be like and how it would impact us. It reminds you that even in the darkest of days, life continues.
Dogs of mine, people grinning in your face. Dogs of mine, people grinning in your face. Your mother will talk about you, your sister and your brothers too. No matter how you try to live, they're gonna talk about you still. So don't you mind people grinning in your face. Don't you mind people grinning in your face. They'll knock you up and down, they'll tread you all around and round. And as soon as your back is turned, they'll be trying to put you down. So don't you mind people grinning in your face. Don't you mind people grinning in your face.
You have a right to remain silent. If you make any statements, they can be used against you.
The Denver shooting suspect, James Holmes, who's 24, appears in court for the first time.
Any plea you make must be voluntary, not the result of any undue influence or coercion. Typically, you have a right to be advised of the charges. You have a right to be advised of the charges The duty judge has made a preliminary determination of probable cause to believe you committed the offense of first-degree murder, which is a Class 1 felony under Colorado law. Ordinarily, individuals are entitled to bail. Given the nature of the charges, you are currently being held on a no-bond hold. You also have a right to have a jury trial and preliminary hearing to determine whether there's probable cause to believe that you're the person that committed the offense. Mr. Holmes, do you have any questions about that initial advisement?
Judge, we've advised Mr. Holmes thoroughly to make a supplemental or further advisement.
Thank you, Mr. King. We'll set the matter for formal filing of charges this Monday, July 30th.
As part of the gun initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular our young people. They are saturated in the media and in entertainment, or by the entertainment industry, with violence. And I think too many of our young people, in particular our young men, are fascinated with violence and in particular fascinated with guns. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make it something that's not cool, that it's not acceptable, it's not hip to carry a gun anymore. In the way in which we've changed our attitudes about cigarettes, you know, when I was growing up, people smoked all the time. I mean, both my parents did. But over time, we changed the way in which people thought about smoking, and so now we have people who cower outside of buildings and kind of smoke in private and don't want to admit it. And that's what I think we need to do with guns, really change the way in which people think about that, think about guns. Now, this is not going to be something that's very easy to do, because we are, quite frankly, fighting something that appears, you know, every day on television, on the radio, in our popular music, in movies that these kids are exposed to. It will be an effort that will entail things that I'm really not familiar with. I think I'm a pretty good lawyer, but we need to get really innovative, creative things that are going to grab the attention of these kids and change, as I said, the way in which they think about guns. And so what I've asked is that the creative community in Washington, those ad agencies that create these snappy ads and make me buy things that I don't really need, devote that talent in a more constructive way so we can get at the minds of these young people. This informational campaign, I've also called on the newspapers and the television stations to devote to us time and space so that we can get these ads, so we can use these spots, and not to give us 1, 2 o'clock in the morning ads when nobody's watching, but at the time when people, particularly young people, are watching television, so that when they're watching, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Martin or whatever else they watch, and yeah, I watch those things once in a while, so that they'll see these ads and they'll be grabbed by these ads. I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well. But not only them, community leaders, Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Stop it all!
We
want to warn you, what you're about to hear is incredibly graphic and disturbing.
You and I have both covered a lot of cases like this in our careers, but I can tell you, by far, this is the most shocking and disgusting case I have ever read. It literally made me sick to my stomach when I went over the contents. Ronald Brown, a local puppeteer, is accused of planning to cook and eat local children, and tomorrow he'll be here in federal court. Cops call him a pervert puppeteer, a man so deviant, so diabolical, that he wanted to kidnap children, specifically toddlers, torture them, rape them, murder them, then cook their body parts. All this according to federal documents. Ronald Brown lives in this Largo neighborhood, surrounded by children each and every day. Even though no one answered the door when we knocked, Mr. Brown's minivan was sitting right here in the driveway, and what was visible inside? Puppets, party CDs, and a badge for Kids Zone.
They're all probably passing his house every morning and every afternoon. And some parents aren't home from work yet, or some of them have left for work and they're sending their kids on and they're not knowing at all.
Brown started his puppeteer company in 1992, Puppet Plus. On Facebook, he brags about performing in schools and malls, even for the Rays. But it's what he's allegedly doing online that has the feds interested. Chatting detectives say about kidnapping kids and eating them. The conversations are so graphic, so vile, that we can't repeat them on television, but we can show you one portion. Brown and another man say to each other, "Summer is heating up. Should be good pickings. It's so hot, the kids are almost naked out there. My mouth watered looking at her for sure." According to documents, Brown was targeting a little boy at a local church. Brown told FBI agents he wanted to eat the child. The 57-year-old also admitted in the documents that he wanted to strangle children, that he had multiple photos of child pornography. They are simply too graphic to even describe.
It is said when you see someone who looks like they don't feel very well, you say, "My goodness, you look like death eating a cracker." Or if they look really bad, you say, "You look like death eating a cracker walking backwards."
Breaking news right now, chaos erupts after a controversial police shooting in Anaheim, and tonight the tension continues. Officers fire what appeared to be beanbags and unleash a canine into a crowd of women and children. We have a disturbing video taken as it happened. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm Susie Sa.
And I'm Rob Schmidt. This is KCAL 9 News at 10. We begin tonight with breaking news from Anaheim. Police are facing off with an unruly crowd that showed up to protest a shooting earlier in the day. The trouble began late this afternoon with an officer-involved shooting in the 600 block of North Anna Drive near La Palma. KCAL 9's Jay Jackson is live in Anaheim with what's happening right now. Jay.
Rob, we're on La Palma and Acacia, where this scene is still a very active scene. Take a look behind me. You can see police cars are lined up here on La Palma, and you're looking west on La Palma right now. Earlier today, there was a scene that was a near riot as police confronted people who were protesting, as you mentioned, an officer-involved shooting. Just moments ago, there was a dumpster fire out here. There was citizens that had shut down the street. Now police have cleared that out. But here's the video from earlier today, which can only be described as frightening.
Hold it now.
Let's turn now to a horrific chain of events in California over the last few days.
several incidents involving police officers taking extreme measures, using violence to try to control nonviolent people. Let's begin with Anaheim, California. Police on Saturday approached a few men in an alleyway there, and when those men started running, one of them was shot dead by police, though he was unarmed and really posing no danger to anyone. Then, as the hours passed and the neighbors began to protest and demand answers from police, police responded violently once again. Take a look at this.
They just released the dog and I had my baby and my...
You see here a bunch of upset residents here. Police were using rubber bullets. They let go of one of the dogs. You can see it attacked this man who was just standing by here. It also ran at this woman who you saw. She was holding her baby. Witnesses are visibly upset. They're angry, and frankly, many of them say they were scared for their lives.
It's a pole, blowing up blows to the nose like Uncle L's, and I'm ripping up shows. Being what it is only 5% of the beers I'm adding wolves. That's the way it goes. So you think I rank? I never drank one drink. I own loans. Suckers got me running from the bank. Civil liberty, I can't see the pay of fee. I never saw a way to pay except to read the law. Then become a victim of a lawyer. The lawyer never saw a tape cued. Get me shoes, playing games with my head. What the judge said, put me in the red. Got me thinking about a trigger to the lead. No, my educated mind say suckers gonna pay anyway. There's gonna be a day cause the truth they roll in. I posse up home from the ground, ready to go. Throw another round, sink up the ride. It's suicide for the other side of town. When I find a way to shut them down, I shut them down, 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 shut them down.
You're looking at Anaheim, California. It's recovering from another night of violent protests. It's the second ugly clash with police since officers shot a man to death who was apparently unarmed. Anaheim's mayor has called for state and federal investigations into the shooting. The victim was a suspected gang member. Also this morning, the crisis in Syria. We have on the phone with us now an Anaheim police officer. He's with the public information office there. Officer, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Could you introduce yourself?
Sure, Sergeant Bob Dunn.
Thank you for joining us here at the last minute, or on short notice, I should say. There have been violent clashes going on in Anaheim since Saturday, since an apparently unarmed suspected gang member was shot by police. Tell us what happened overnight in Anaheim.
Yesterday, we had our planned city council meeting, which had a pretty heavy agenda, meaning that there was anticipated to be large attendance anyway. In light of what happened over the weekend, we anticipated even more people coming to the council meeting, and that turned out the case. What happened was that the council chambers filled up quickly, and some people were turned away because the fire marshal told us there were too many people. The crowd began to swell, and that's kind of what began to start the violence.
Shut them down. last video I made has a lot of people convinced that I'm a lunatic when I said that the citizens have the right to arrest the police. Okay. But then again, why shouldn't we have the right to arrest the police? If they egregiously step out of line, like if they're beating somebody to death in full public view, if they're beating an old man to pieces in full public view, isn't it the right and the obligation of the people at large, like 50 or 100 people, to simply crowd around them with video cameras, getting it all on video and telling them, officers, stop doing this, you are violating the law, you are beating this man, and you will kill this man, and you will not get away with it. Do not make us take you into custody. Now, when the cops look around and see if they're outnumbered like 100 to 3, they might just, you know, go away. I'm not saying that all cops are bad, but too many of them are. How many more videos do we have to see of police behaving badly, beating people up, murdering people, tasering old women, macing little children in the face? How many more videos do we have to see of this? How many? Now, back in colonial days, well, post-revolutionary days, if a peace officer was paid by the people to help maintain the law so that the other citizens could go about their business. If a peace officer stepped out of line and started, say, beating some old man for no reason, the people would gather around him and relieve him of his weapon, his club or whatever it was, and they would take him into custody. And they would take him to the magistrate. And he would be arrested and jailed. Why don't we do that anymore? Why can't we do that anymore? I'll tell you why. Because the police are no longer the police. The police have become soldiers. We have a standing army on our soil, and they're not our friends.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
You still think of yourself Chinese, or do you ever think of yourself as North American?
You know what I want to think of myself? As a human being. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, as Confucius say, but under the sky, under the heaven, man, there is but one family. It just so happened, man, that people are different. Styles tends to not only separate man, you know, because they have their own doctrines, and then the doctrine became the gospel truth, you know, that you cannot change, you know. But if you do not have styles, if you just say, well, here I am, you know, as a human being, how can I express myself totally and completely? Now, that way, you won't create a style, because style is a crystallization, you know. I mean, that way, it's a process of continuing growth. To express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, now, that, my friend, is very hard to do, and you have to train. It might sound too philosophical, but it's unacting, acting, or acting, unacting.
You've lost me.
I have, right? So what I'm saying, actually, you see, I mean, it's a combination of both. I mean, here it is, the natural instinct, and here is control. You are to combine the two in harmony. Not if you have one to the extreme, you will be very unscientific. If you have another to the extreme, you become all of a sudden a mechanical man, no longer a human being. So it is a successful combination of both. So therefore, it is not only, I mean, so therefore it's not pure naturalness or unnaturalness. The ideal is unnatural naturalness or natural unnaturalness.
Yin yang, eh?
Right, man, that's it. All type of knowledge ultimately means self-knowledge. Your mind be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.